Judges is tracing Jewish history from Joshua to Samuel, and it's about 340 years. So you're seeing that history of Israel. And we'll see that there are 13 judges that God uses. But for the most part, there's a lot of defeat, but then there's a lot of rescuing them. Now, when we talk about judges, we're not talking about those with the long robes and the gavel and the legal case before them. We're not talking about that. We're talking about heroic leaders. Those are the judges.
As we gather, may your spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came.
Aloha kakou e komo mai. Welcome to As We Gather, the Bible teaching ministry of Calvary Chapel Honolulu with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. Today, Pastor Bill begins a new series in the book of repeat offenders, Judges. Let's pick it up in Judges chapter 1.
We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because.
Now, what can be discouraging is you see a lot of failure here. Failure, failure, failure. They did not conquer the enemy. They did not. But, you know, you don't want to let that discourage you, because in the same way, you find the rescue. God comes and he rescues them. And I think the Lord has just given this to us to show us our own natural tendency to fail often. It might be just in our mind, how our mind just drifts and goes astray. We're supposed to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, but we don't always do that. So whether it's in our mind, in our attitude, or in our action, God's always there to rescue. So don't get discouraged when you read this and you find like, boy, those guys really failed a lot. Yeah, they did. They did, but God rescues them. And so as we go through this cycle, it seems like a treadmill that they're on. And I've called this book the Book of Repeat Offenders, because you find that they have peace. And then when they have peace, they're at ease. And then they get really complacent in their walk with the Lord. And the next thing you know, they fall into sin. And then with that sin, they're defeated in their walk with the Lord. And then finally, they get fed up with that, and they cry out to God, and a deliverer comes and rescues them, and they are delivered from that doldrums or that bondage. And then they go back into that time of peace, but then they go into complacency again, and then they go, and that cycle happens all over again. And you know, unfortunately, there are Christians that go through that. Their Christianity is cyclic. Don't correct me afterwards. Tell me now. Help me out. Cyclical. Thank you. You really have to move. Brennan and Bella, we love him so much. He's a smart guy. Cyclical. Yeah. And they're on that treadmill. And I think sometimes here, the Christians, you know, they're doing good with the Lord, and then all of a sudden they're in a wilderness wandering. And then they come back, and then they wander again and come back. But you know, one of the good things is I've seen those come back from a long journey of leaving the Lord. And I've seen them come back, and they're stronger than ever. They're serving the Lord greater than ever before. And so we can't really focus and camp on the fact of the failure, but we really want to look to the rescue that God brings in for the nation of Israel and through this process. And it's the same with us. These first three chapters is kind of an overview. And then when we get into chapter 3, after verse 4, then we start talking about the judges that come on the scene. And these guys and women, Deborah, they're really exciting. They're exciting people that God uses. They're heroes, heroes of the faith. But let's start here in verse 1 of Judges 1. Now it came about after the death of Joshua that the sons of Israel inquired of the Lord, saying, "Who shall go up first for us against the Canaanites to fight against them?" And the Lord said, "Judah shall go up. Behold, I have given the land into his hand." Then Judah said to Simeon, his brother, "Come up with me into the territory allotted me, that we may fight against the Canaanites, and I in turn will go up with you into the territory allotted you." So Simeon went with him. Now, Judah was on the southern side of Jerusalem. If you look on your map, you'll see where they divided the land. And that's what they're doing, dividing the land and going into conquer. That's what the first three chapters. It's really a rehearsal of what we saw in Joshua. But Judah had the southern part right from Jerusalem. But then Simeon had the farther southern part. So they're going to go in and they're going to battle together for that territory. One of the things that I think is noteworthy is the Lord spoke to them. And you think, well, how did God speak? Well, we're going to find that an angel of the Lord came to them at one point. We'll see that 20 years after he came to Joshua when he was the captain of the Lord of hosts. We're going to see he comes again. And I don't think that's what we're seeing here, because they had a way to discern, or they had a way to know the will of the Lord, the what they called the Urim and the Thummim. Lights and perfection was a way of divining or finding out the will of the Lord. And that's probably what they used there for that. But as we see, they go up and you find that they are successful in part, but not all the way. Because as I mentioned, Judges is tracing Jewish history from Joshua. Now we went through Joshua and his life, but now we're coming back to Joshua and the death of Joshua. But Judges goes all the way out to Samuel, and it's about 340 years. So you're seeing that history of Israel. And we'll see that there are 13 judges that God uses. But for the most part, there's a lot of defeat, but then there's a lot of rescuing them. Now, when we talk about judges, we're not talking about those with the long robes and the gavel and the legal case before them. We're not talking about that. We're talking about heroic leaders. And those are the judges. Now, what we're going to see here in these chapters is Joshua had conquered the majority of the land here and the majority of these pagan kings. It took about 7 years to conquer this area. And so those pagan kings, they would often gather a number of nations together to go against Israel. But Israel didn't lose the battle unless they were sinning against God, like Achan taking the spoil that was given to God, or they didn't check in with God at Ai. But you see, for the most part, they were victorious throughout that time. But then they left in the land, they left these minor kings for a purpose, to test the people of Israel. He's not just going to hand everything on a silver platter. Wait a minute, you've got to do some battle yourself. You've got to be tested yourself. Are you going to serve the Lord? You can't just come in and kick back and that's fine. You know, I'm glad that these guys won the battle for me. No, there's some minor pagan kings that they're going to have to deal with. And so they're to deal with them completely, totally, wipe them out, wipe their worship out, wipe these kings out, because they can't have pagan worship and the heathen intermarrying with those that are God's people. Otherwise, you have a mixture of paganism in those who are godly. And you're going to find that that compromise will corrupt the nation Israel. And the nation Israel is to be a light, is to be a witness to the other nations. They're to be a theocracy, or God ruling them. And that's why God doesn't want this intermixing of paganism and the belief of the Jews. And so often what you find is that compromise that Israel makes in the land, it ends up in defeat of them. And so we see that quite often. They were to follow God completely. If they followed God completely, they would drive out the enemy. You see, that's true in our life. If we will follow God completely, there's nothing that God won't do in our life. Oh, we'll still, you know, have some snags and we'll still have difficulties. But you see, the Lord is there in the storm of that difficulty and He'll get us through. And so that's what we're finding here. You see, it's inseparable that them following God and driving out the enemy. As soon as they separate from following God, when they stop obeying, when they stop following, that's when God stops driving out the enemy. And that's the tragic history of the nation here. Not allowing God to bring them to their full potential, not allowing God to bring them the very best that He has for them, because they failed in their consistency. That's us, isn't it? We fail in our consistency with the Lord. That's why we walk circumspectly, or watch where you're walking, so you're consistent in that walk. That's hard to get here on a Wednesday night, coming from work and all, fighting the traffic, but it's commendable. That's consistency. You see, God wants us to run the race with endurance. And He wants, as we cross the finish line, He wants to say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of the Lord." You see, and it's not always your great ability, your great gifting and all that. But I like what William Carey, who was a missionary to India, he was a cobbler. And he was kind of put down for that, being a cobbler back in that day. And somebody asked him, "Oh, you're that shoemaker, aren't you?" And Carey said, "Oh, no, I'm not a shoemaker. I repair shoes." You see, he would just not lower himself, but he would just tell the truth about himself. He didn't want to, you know, puff himself up. He didn't have tremendous gifts that you might look upon others. You know, maybe a D.L. Moody, so powerful in bringing others to the Lord. But William Carey said, I can plod. I just go on. I just keep going and watch what God does. You see, if you'll just plod and then you'll look back in time to come, you go, "Wow, God has sure done a lot." Not because we're so great, but because God's so great. And William Carey, in the 1800s going into the 1900s, you know, that was his missionary. But you see, the first failure that we're going to see here of Israel in that compromise is they intermarry. They intermarry with the pagan ladies. The Bible says, "Marry only in the Lord." I mean, that doesn't just go for the New Testament, but that's in the Old Testament. Only marry there with those that are serving and loving Jehovah, the God of Israel. The Bible says, "How can two walk together unless they both agree?" You've got to agree spiritually. Don't be yoked together with an unbeliever. And so much of that, and they so much compromise that you find that there's the failure, there's the downward slide. You see, lack of initiative to drive out the enemy or to resist the devil, there's where the downward spiral takes place. Downward spiral. And so they, Israel, the nation Israel, yes, they had Yahweh. Yes, they had Jehovah. They had their God. But they incorporated heathen rituals. And there was the downward slide. So he goes on here. I know that was kind of a long part on that, but a little more of an introduction there. But verse 4, we'll go down to verse 7. "And Judah went up, and the Lord gave the Canaanites and the Perizzites into their hands, and they defeated 10,000 men at Bezek. And they found Adoni-Bezek in Bezek and fought against him, and they defeated the Canaanites and the Perizzites. But Adoni-Bezek fled, and they pursued him and caught him and cut off his thumbs and his big toes. And Adoni-Bezek said, 70 kings with their thumbs and big toes cut off used to gather up scraps under my table as I have done, so God has repaid me. So they brought him to Jerusalem and he died there. So Bezek, that is a city, that is the area down by the Dead Sea. On our trip to Israel, we go to the Dead Sea. I like that spot. It's very, it's dry, but it's very peaceful down there. And here, Bezek, Adonai, or Lord of Bezek, or he was king of Bezek. That's who he was. But he was famous for his cruelty. 70 kings. He treated them like dogs. He treated them for sport. You know, he mutilated them. And then they were under his banquet table, you know, they would just kind of crawl around and like his little pet pets under there. But you see, you cut off your thumbs and your big toes, you can't go out to battle. You can't handle a sword or a bow. You can't march out to war. And so that was one of his cruel things that he did. Now, one of the things I think it's interesting as you look at some of the history of the Roman government, there were parents at that time that did the same thing to their children. They would cut off a big toe or a thumb so the child wouldn't have to go into the battlefield, Roman soldiers and that kind of thing. So they would be, in our day, it was either 4F or you'd be eliminated because of certain things. I know when I was a kid growing up, it was the Vietnam War, but some of the guys, and I surfed with the guys, and we'd always have long boards, 10-foot boards, and we'd paddle on our knees. And the thing about paddling on your knees, you'd build up a giant callus on the ball of your knees. And when they went in for, you know, if they were going to be drafted, they went in, and doctors didn't know what those big things were on their knees. And so they would eliminate them, you know, and they would actually get out of the military for that. And but you see, that isn't far gone. You find that even some Roman parents did the same thing. But here, this man, the cruelty that he did to others, well, he got it back. As a man sows, so shall he reap, as we read in Galatians 6:7 when we were there. You see, by your standard of measure, it will be measured back to you, the Bible says in Matthew. And so it was measured back to him. He really got what he deserved. Goes on, verse 8, then the sons of Judah fought against Jerusalem and captured it and struck it with the edge of the sword and set the city on fire. And afterward, the sons of Judah went down to fight against the Canaanites living in the hill country and in the Negev and in the lowland. So Judah went against the Canaanites who lived in Hebron, now the name of Hebron was formerly Kiriath Arba, and they struck Sheshai and Ahiman and Talmai. Then from there, he went against the inhabitants of Debir. Now the name of Debir formerly was Kiriath Sefer. And Caleb said, the one who attacks Kiriath Sefer and captures it, I will even give him my daughter Aksha for a wife. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, Caleb's younger brother, captured it. So he gave him his daughter, Aksha, for a wife. Then it came about when she came to him that she persuaded him to ask her father for a field. Then she alighted from her donkey, and Caleb said to her, what do you want? Verse 15, and she said to him, give me a blessing, since you have given me the land of the Negev, give me also springs of water. So Caleb gave her the upper springs and the lower springs. So actually went over beyond what she's asking. But in the Negev, that desert area, so important for rainwater. I mean, that's how you'd live, rainwater, or you'd have artesian wells, you know, underground kind of wells. And so the land really isn't of any value unless you have springs. And so Caleb gave her springs. Now, it's pretty hard for a father to refuse a sweet-talking daughter, isn't it? No, you can't refuse, so he came in. I have to say, I'm a sucker for my grandkids as they're growing up. One of my granddaughters, she's 22, she just moved out of the house there in McCall, and she went to Boise and is living with some roommates, some ladies, some girls. And so me and Danita, we emailed, said, we want to get you a housewarming gift. What do you want? And she said, oh, I wanted a blender to make smoothies. I said, what kind? She gave me the kind. I went on Amazon and ordered it and had it sent to her. And she, then the thing that she did, this was a few weeks ago, she showed me a picture of the smoothie that she made, you know. And so to me, I love it. I love to do that kind of thing. And then my grandson, little Bud, he's 15, but he bought a car. Now, he can't drive it alone. He's got to have somebody older with him. But he bought a 32-year-old car. It's a 250. It's a 250F Ford, four-wheel drive, and it's a 1990. And it's old, but it's kind of a rattle trap, but he loves it. And so he's driving it. I'm over here. He drove me, but then all of a sudden he said, oh, the car broke down. And so we said, well, what's wrong with it? He said, I don't know. I mean, he doesn't know anything about cars. I don't know. So we said, well, where is it? He said, well, I drove it home. It's four-wheel drive, so the front wheels work. And so we got under the car and we looked, and it's got two differentials, one for the front and one for the back, but they're hooked together. And so the differential had fallen down. Not the differential, I'm sorry. The drive shaft had fallen down. Two drive shafts, one for the front, one for the back. It had fallen down because it's supposed to be hooked into the differential for the rear wheel drive, but the universal joint was all messed up. So we got a universal joint and you know, worked on the car for a few hours and got it running. And then when he came home, we just said, hey, go try your car. It's running. What? Yeah. The joy of a grandfather is to see the joy of the kids. So I can see how Caleb would go, yeah, sweetheart, I'll give you two, you know, two springs. And so he gave her the two springs.
And that's where we'll finish on today's edition of As We Gather with Pastor Bill Stonebreaker. This was a portion of a weekly Bible study from the book of Repeat Offenders, Judges, Chapter 1. You can hear this message again by visiting CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com and take advantage of our media archive. We really appreciate any support from our listeners. Your encouragement and prayer go a long way for this ministry. If you'd like to support the As We Gather media ministry, you can give securely online at CalvaryChapelHonolulu.com. And for those who would like to be a regular sponsor, you can set up a recurring gift on the schedule of your choice. May the Lord richly bless you as you walk with Him today.
As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin to worship, we'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came. As we gather, may Your Spirit work within us. As we gather, may we glorify Your name. Knowing well that as our hearts begin, we'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.
next time on As We Gather, we'll continue in the book of repeat offenders, Judges, chapter 1. Until then, aloha and agape.
We'll be blessed because we came. We'll be blessed because we came. Yeah, we'll be blessed because we came.